Welcome to Bitches on Comics. I'm Sarah Century.
And I'm Essie Fleenor, and today we're talking with comic book creator Stephanie Williams.
Hey, y'all.
I don't know what I thought you were going to say, Stephanie, but in my mind, there was like a whole thing and
a whole film.
Song, and then there was like a fireworks that people would see on their computers.
Yeah. You just take the microphone and you're like, hi, and I'm Stephanie. Thank you for joining me. You might know me from Sci-Fi Fangirls.
How are y'all tonight? Or evening, or 6-something. Well, I guess it's night time.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
So we wanted to talk about Parenthood Comic.
I really want to know about what the process of coming up with the comic and then taking it to completion has been like.
Okay. All right. So the story behind Parenthood Activate. So I know you guys, I followed you all on Twitter for a little while, and I'm pretty sure it's been vice versa. So, you know, I would always share just little things that would happen, just experience with my son, and I would share them on the timeline every now and again, just using like either a GIF or a meme or whatever. And those tweets would like always go viral. And it wasn't anything that I was like, you know, making up. It was just literally me telling everyone like, yo, this just happened. I thought it was funny. I hope you would too. So that was a thing. And then, you know,
well,
know that
Stephanie,
I love comics.
Your Twitter is hysterical.
You have probably the best Twitter.
I appreciate that. You know, funny enough, when I originally got on Twitter, I wanted to write, but I was like, how do I go about this? Or like, how do I find a community to do it right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I can tweet about more stuff than just catfish on Twitter. So, so like, it just turned into a thing. And like, I don't know, like 4 years ago, if you would have told me that I would have like 15,000 followers, I'm like, how did I get them? So it's been really, really interesting. But as I've told anyone who always asks, like, either how does your stuff go viral or how did you get these followers and stuff? I'm like, I'm literally being myself. Like, you are getting maybe 75% of me, like, because it's dialed back a little bit. Because if you ask the folks over at Nerds of Prey, they'll tell you that I am like 110%. Plus especially Shannon, because we've shared hotel rooms and stuff when we've gone to Dragon Con. So you are definitely getting Stephanie. So I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love comics, and I have been wanting to, you know, find a way to, like, start writing and just kind of, like, break out of that. I don't either know how to start or just that fear of, will the funny translate in that form? And I think the last viral tweet or something I shared about something that Micah did was a joke that he told me about, you know, what do you call a dinosaur poot or something like that? And I'm like, what do you call it? And he's like, a blast from the past. And I just thought it was funny because, one, you know, I'm pretty sure he got it off one of those stupid little YouTube shows, Flippy or who knows. It's very weird. Kids, YouTube is weird. So I'm pretty sure he got it from that. And that just like really blew up. And I'm like, all right, so maybe you need to put two and two together. And webcomic is short and sweet, more affordable than, you know, trying to put together an entire book. And then also I was like licking my wounds and feeling away about the Kickstarter failing for the Braxton comic. Mm-hmm. And instead of kind of like sitting in that, I was like, you know what? No, I can do this. So I spoke to, it was funny. I spoke to Regine Sawyer and then Vita Ayala all in the same week. Because I'd been meaning to talk to them anyway. We had to play catch up. So when I was on the phone with the both of them, they were like, yeah, you do the thing. Like, stop pussyfooting around and like, do the thing. So I reached out to Sarah Macklin, who I had been in contact with before. She actually had done a really great character of me for my birthday, and aww. I remember really loving her art. She's amazing. And before Misty Knight's Unformed Afro dissolved in that way, she was actually going to do art for the podcast. So I wanted to reach back out to her in some way, shape, or form. So when I told her about the idea and what I was thinking, she was, before I can even finish typing, she's like, yes.
Yay.
So I wanted to do something that was kind of like Rugrats meets Pinky and the Brain, but instead of just the kid, you know, instead of just the kid being the one in this kind of like fantastical view of the world or way of storytelling, you know, myself and my husband and whoever else ends up in the comic would be in it too. So Parenthood Activate was born, and I kid you not, like maybe within that week when I really like started getting everything together, like the contracts, and just sat down and opened up Google Docs and didn't let it just sit there with a blank screen for 5 hours and then watch something on Netflix. I just like, I couldn't stop typing basically, because I'm like, the stories were there, either something that I already kind of shared on Twitter, but, you know, a different way to kind of tell the story, or just something that had just literally happened a day or two ago. So it was kind of surreal, because in that moment, it really dawned on me like, wow, so you can do this. Like, it's not this unattainable, you gotta get to the top of the Marvel DC mountain or anything like that. Like, you can literally do the thing that you love so much and like reading about, and do it yourself. So it was actually pretty empowering, I guess.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Like I don't know. Like I guess I underestimated myself, which I shouldn't have done, should never do. But when she got back to me with the initial preliminary sketches, I'm just like, wow, you get the vision. Clearly my descriptions of how like the panels and what, you know, what I would like them to convey, was enough for you to make this amazing thing. So that also helped too. And then she wrote back and was like, yeah, I, you know, was laughing for like 20 minutes before I even started, and was like, great. So the funny is translating, which was the big thing that I was seriously worried about, because, you know, it's one thing to be funny on Twitter, then it's another to be funny in other ways. And like, I know that I try to inject my humor in things that I write for sci-fi fangirls, but again, like, it's still different. And yeah, it was just, it felt really good to know that, hey, the humor can come across in this way.
Yeah, I think that that's something that's interesting whenever I think about writing, is obviously I've written for a few different mediums, and every single time you have to make adjustments, but then also there's kind of things that are the same about it. And that always, to me, I think is one of my favorite things about writing, because it makes me be like, oh, what if I do it this way? This is all different now. Yeah. Or like, if you have a different person that you're working with, that's always really exciting, because they always bring something that you never would have thought about, you know? It's like, I'm sure that that's already happened, you know, with that Parenthood Activate.
No, it actually has, because for the issue that just came out, The Last Snack, they're actually added the bonnet. I didn't even think of that. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but she added it. And I just thought that was such a great touch. And a funny one, too. And then also, just speaking in comics in general, as far as for a lot of Black characters, sometimes, you know, we often joke online about, you know, someone laying down without their hair tied up, or, you know, how the hair situation is always, unfortunately, a thing. To have something like just a small touch like that, for me to not even have to mention that to the artist, but also just like, yes, this is why, outside of just writers, we also need artists and editors and all of that, that are people of color, Black people, women, queer, all of that, because it's just little things like that that are so important, and is actually a little bit, to me, sometimes more important than the actual character on the page being, you know, a representation of whatever community. Like, we actually, it's getting more clear every single day that we need way more behind the scenes. And I would like to say that things are getting better.
That's how I see it too. I'm like,
You always know things are getting better with a question mark at the end, is like, okay, you really get it. You're my people.
Better.
Yeah, like I, like Terminator Dark Fate, I'll be seeing that tomorrow, and the 6 male writers. And I'm like, I know that I'm going to enjoy the film, I'm sure, but I'm probably going to walk out like, yeah, so what if you all would have had, I don't know, like 6? you know, women or femme identifying writers, perhaps. I don't know.
Okay. The people who are here, like completely there for Linda Hamilton, pretty much needed to write that movie.
Yes.
And that's kind of, it's like, I know that guys will be like, oh, I love Linda Hamilton. And I'm like, you don't love her like we do.
Because if you did, you would be sitting in fear throughout the entire first Terminator.
Yeah.
This poor woman have this terrible, terrible day.
Good God.
I really do not like her son. I finally came to that crossroad and I'm just like, you know, John Connor, you know what? You're actually really terrible. And if my son ever did that to me, I'd be very upset. Why did you send this man back?
Yeah, what is that? It's so weird the whole time.
It's so weird.
It's like, but, hey, best friend, do you want to go impregnate my mom and be my dad? And
it's totally that.
That's a little bit more than best friends. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
That's bananas.
I hope that it's good though. I've heard people come back from it and be like, all right, I did have a great time, you know. And I like to go into movies and just be like, hopefully I can just turn the parts of my brain off that are gonna be mad, because I know that there's always something I can find almost in any movie to be like, what the fuck was that about? And I try sometimes to be like, all right, back up on this one, Sarah, like, let it be. Like,
and you know what has helped me greatly with that? Edibles. I don't know what it is. Like, it's just,
we're in Colorado. We know about that.
Oh yeah.
So, like mushrooms are legal here. I bet that'd make me relax pretty good.
Oh, for sure.
And I mean, or give me a panic attack. I'm not sure which.
I think I forgot. I think I forgot that you could see movies sober.
Yeah, actually, big same. I accidentally seen one sober, which was Hustler, which was okay. Because I actually did kind of, I enjoyed it without, because Kiki Palmer just, I didn't know she was going to be in the movie like that. And she was worth all 45 minutes or whatever it was that she had screen time. So I won't be, but that's the only movie I hope I see this year like that, because no.
Yeah, it's not acceptable. I've gone into theaters because I'm like an art house fan, so I'm always going to these, like, I don't know, pretentious movies basically.
Yeah.
And so they always have bars at those, because of course they do. Oh, and so whenever I go to like a megaplex or whatever, I'm just like, yes, I'll have a drink, please. And they're like, so like tea or soda? And I'm like, what? What are you saying?
Sarah's like, if I have to see this movie sober, I swear to God.
Like, more than 3 hours of Endgame. Like, I did that one sober, except for with some edibles. But then also, I mean, that movie had one single tear, like, rolling down my cheek the entire 3 hours. And I'm just like, damn, you know what would help that situation? A beer.
Yeah. Like, I Love You 3000 wasn't written to make us all want to just fucking die.
I know. Give me a break.
And then, unfortunately for me, when I saw Endgame, so edible, great, but the AC went out at some point. No. And it's funny because there's like this progression of me like looking around and I'm like, am I hot? I can't be the only one that's hot. My husband asked me, I'm like, are you hot? And he's like, yeah, I'm a little hot. So then like an hour or like 30 minutes goes by and I look around, I'm like, no, we can't be the only ones with that. Like, I see people progressively taking clothing off. Like, oh, AC is out. And then the movie was 3 hours long. So I'm sitting there like, so do I ask for ice water or like pass out? So it was terrible. I wanted to kill Thanos by the time of the movie.
Oh, my God. By the end, you're just like, I don't fucking care what happens to Steve Rogers.
Wrap it up.
Yes, we know he
and Bucky are in love. We get it. Done. Just fine.
Can you imagine? He popped up so like, sure, Peggy, you know, maybe missed him. She had his photo on her desk. Whatever. Like, could you imagine, like, she maybe was getting ready for a girl's night out. Who knows? And then, like, he just shows up. And
cancel everything, like, Peggy.
Maybe she had another date. Maybe she had a dick appointment. I don't know. But I would be so upset because I'm like, I know he showed up with, like, He probably didn't even have a duffel bag. He just showed up with himself.
I'm going to move in now. I'm from the future. I've been sad about it for a while. I know everything that's going to happen, and yet I'm just going to chill with you for the next 60 years, and it's been, like, a pretty rough 60 years, so am I a superhero? It's very strange at the end. Oh, I thought I'd get around to doing some of that living life that I've heard about, and you're like, what?
I hated that so much, because there are times where I may wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm just like, so, when the march to Selma to Montgomery happened, was he like at home? Like, did they call him up and he was on the other side of the bridge waiting on them? It's like, it's questions like that throughout the civil rights movement where I'm just like, so and I hate that they did that to me, because comic book Steve Rogers tells me I'm really not sure. The MCU Steve Rogers, I'm really not sure. So I hate them for that. I really do. And then the beginning of that film, when they said that they were going to introduce Marvel's first gay character, I'm just like,
Oh my God. Let's do this.
I'm sitting there and it's when he's at that the support group. So I promise you, in my mind, before the edible kicked in, I'm like, oh my God. He's gonna talk about Bucky. He's going to talk about, because I'm like, this is a support group for queer men trying to move on in their lives to find partners, or they've lost their partners or whatever, or like trying to navigate this new space with everyone gone. And I'm like, wow, he's getting ready to tell us about Bucky. It didn't happen. It was one of the doggone Russos.
We got a fucking Russo brother. We didn't even get a gay actor. Like, you could have, you know what, if you had even cast a young queer actor in that role, I would be like, I'm still unhappy, but fair enough. You paid a queer person to play a queer person.
Okay.
No, let's not pay a queer actor. Let's pay a Russo. What?
I've never been so pissed in my life. Like, I was legitimately upset because I looked around again. Like, I did a lot of Whitney Houston looking around at the movie theater the other day. And, No one better than I. And I'm like, am I the only one that's disappointed right now?
I think for me, like, inside it was like, oh, that's the gay. No. But that's the gay. No. They couldn't. But, like, surely Valkyrie will also be gay in, like, 3 minutes, right? Yeah. Like, they couldn't possibly think this is momentous.
Yeah, because it's 3 hours long, and so I forgot about it happening, and so I kept being like, oh, is Natasha about to come out, like, while she's, like, dangling off the side of a cliff?
Stop dreaming about me, I'm gay! That's an ending that I would have liked to see, frankly, for Black Widow.
I don't know why they don't call anymore.
You know, I'm sure they've got you on speed dial, but just waiting for the right moment.
I was wondering, I think I actually read an interview with you about this already, but I was just wondering how you got into comics first.
So, I love telling this story because I was actually talking to my brother the other day about it. Well, so my brother was like, he wouldn't let me play, I think it was like Street Fighter or whatever. So I'm like, okay, so let me find something to like spend my time and do. So I saw like this comic book sticking out from like underneath the bed, and I looked down. And I don't know why I had never seen it before. And like Storm was on the cover. It was Stormy Forge. So I was like, oh, what's this? So I pick it up. I'm like, he's playing Street Fighter or whatever. And I'm thumbing through it. And of course, because I didn't know anything about the fact that you can't leave your fingers on pages for too long without transferring ink to your fingers. By the time I was done, I had done that to like a couple pages, and he was hot to trot about it. And after that, I'm just like, what is this? And he was like, a comic book. I've literally told you about this before and you weren't interested. I'm like, oh, this is what this is. I'm like, so wait, this is the same person from that show X-Men that we watched sometime on Saturday mornings? And he's like, yes. Why? What else would it be? So after that, I couldn't get enough. And like, my grandmother loved going to like thrift stores. And like before, I don't know, like, I don't want to say like the comic book hype popped off, but like I could always find comics at the thrift store.
I know exactly what you're saying. I lived in like a rural place and would always go and be like, oh snap, this is like only a dollar. Oh my God. And like get so stoked on it.
And then like I would just get them then. So it'd be like the really old like pages are almost yellow, like Superman, Batman.
yep.
I think there was like some Avengers and stuff like that and like some knockoff stuff. So from that point on, I was just like, I really, really like this. And like, this is similar to, you know, my little Disney book, but it's got a lot more action and the women are doing more than just like sleeping or doing whatever. Something like this. Some of them.
Not all of them. Jean was asleep the whole time. Underneath sleep is what Jamaica we call Bay.
Yeah. And this is why I'm like, you know what? No, I can't let Jean go out like that. So when that meme started going around, like I was going to do a theme, I was like, you know what? No. Professor X is crap. He doesn't give any time off. Jean is tired. That is why she faints. She's going to tell all the other women to faint too.
That I've ever seen. Oh my God. I laughed so hard.
And aren't you bringing it back, Stephanie, for Thanksgiving? Haven't I seen some of those?
Surely. So, like, I had did a Thanksgiving X-Men post, like, maybe 2 years ago. So, I'm definitely going to do another one. I think I might make it Christmas, but we'll see. Because usually when those posts end up happening, I promise you, they're, like, just out of the blue. Like, I'll tweet one, and I'm like, but wait, I have more. And then it turns into a thing. So I can't promise you when it will happen because I kind of like when it happens organically because it's when it's the most outlandish. But there will be an X-Men one coming soon or Justice League because I've been rewatching both the original Justice League animated and then also the Unlimited because like why would you not? Because they're great.
They are really good. Yeah.
And I've been getting some screenshots myself. So, I don't know, might get both. Might be one of them, but it's going to happen again. So.
I was crying. I was just like, oh my fucking God. That is like the funniest. Because we always are like, Jean just keeps fainting all through this series. And we're all sad and tired about it. And then just you being like, girl, just pass out. It's what I do. I was like dying of laughter. Oh my God. I forgot all about it. And I'm just now remembering how funny that was. That was like my favorite thing I saw on Twitter for a while.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Cause I was just kind of like, cause I was going to do the whole thing like everyone else is doing. But then I thought I was like, wait, no, let's do something. Let's flip this on its head. But to bring that back to Parenthood, Activate or whatever, it's, you know, and also Braxton to an extent too, just actually going through the process of creating something. I guess this kind of changed my lens a little bit when I am reading comics or I'm critiquing something. I'm trying to keep in mind that there are 15 other people that could have said, oh, that's a bad idea, but they didn't. So I guess in that way, you know, I still kind of stuff out when it needs to be called out, right? But also at the same time, I'm just kind of like, maybe let me just focus on the stuff that is done better. Or if something is questionable or whatever, let me try to think of it in the context of when it happened, who did it, why. And sometimes that's just not enough. Sometimes it's just like, no, this should have absolutely not happened. But I will say that it's just kind of... you know, change the way that I, you know, read and interact with comics, which has been for the better because I've been able to go back and read that older stuff and I'm cringing, but also at the same time, I guess, find a way to find humor in it as well because sometimes you literally got to laugh through it to read through it.
Was being interviewed and was being asked about like reading the canon of like white men. And I believe she was a woman of color and she was like, fuck them. I don't need them. I don't want to read them. I was like, thank you. I think that's the permission I needed because I wasn't reading them, but I was feeling really guilty about it. Like, I've never read Dune, and I was, like, feeling really bad about not reading Dune. And then I was like, but I could read the entirety of N.K. Jemisin's works again.
yeah. That seems like a better choice. So I'm going to do that.
But there is that guilt. There isn't that I don't feel it anymore, but I definitely felt it at least growing up and like into my early 20s of this guilt of I haven't seen this Oscar winning film or the scene that's highly talented. And when I finally got around to some of those things, like, no, this, I don't like this. I would rather watch Friday and write a dissertation on that.
Hell yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, do that actually.
That would be great. Yeah.
Please, how do I support you in doing that? Like, yes,
I've been trying to find a way. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure it out where I can somehow write about Friday for Sci-Fi Fangirls. And I know that it has to be genre. So I was trying to figure out a way to inject it. Like, I don't know. Like, imagine if the Star Wars saga was actually Friday and like Craig was actually Luke and
yep
and the force was actually his fist or something like that. So I'm gonna figure it out. I don't know how, but I'll figure it out. But in saying all of that, I'm just like, you know, you're really missing out on some really great things if you are only focused on the quote unquote great works of white men. Yeah. I mean, you're missing out on so much. And some people are just dying and leaving this earth unfulfilled. Like, this is why aliens haven't visited us, because of that. Just like, they're not offering much. So they'll be gone in about 50 years. It's fine.
I was probably around 18 or 19. I was just like, you know what? What if I just hate men? And like, was just I'm not going to read anything else by these guys, and just started really curating. You know, if I put on music, I'm almost always listening to women, you know, if I put on, you know, anything. And now what's really great, and whenever we say better with a question mark, what actually is better is that you can go to the comic store and be like, I'm going to buy comics from somebody who is not a straight white guy. And you actually have some options, even if they're not a ton of options. I know that, you know, because you got into comics, from what I understand, around the same time I did. And that wasn't always the case. So that is one huge plus side of living now, because comics are literally just better now.
Well, and I think now another part that is better is I get in lots of conversations with like cis white men about comic books, sci-fi, fantasy, the whole shebang, because I'm a nerd, and the only thing nerds love more than their nerddom is talking about their nerddom. And so I'm like, yes, I would love to talk to you about whatever thing. And then it's just like a list of white men's sci-fi novels or white men's fantasy novels. And I'm like, oh, I haven't read any of those. And they're like, why? I'm like, were any of them written by women? And then they're like, there was, what about the, and I'm like, yeah, no, why?
There like, was that why? One female character.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I even try and go back. Like, I love some white dudes writing. Or I think I love, duh. I think it's like in the past tense now, because I try to go back and read them. And I'm like, so I could read this fantasy novel that has like cool magic. Or I could read this really beautiful fantasy novel that has like incredible magic and a lot of sex. And I like that one better. And I like the one where women aren't like pets that people keep in rooms.
Another, I guess, motivating factor for me with this comic was because there are other comics out there written by Black parents that are, or just books in general, they're written by Black parents about their kids, but I'm just like, okay, but this is my opportunity to add to that and show something in like a funny kind of just fun light that it's not always, you know, serious. And this is just something that people can enjoy and gravitate toward that also features a Black family, because we could always use more of that. So that was another thing, because I'm just like, I don't really see this as much as I would like to. So let's make it more.
Yeah, and almost no matter how much there is, there still isn't anybody like you, you know? So you get to make your statement. I'm excited. I've loved what I've seen so far. And do you know where you're going to, kind of what's your schedule going forward with it?
So because there's been a little bit of a job change, I wanted to work towards every week. But this also would require me to pay the artist a little bit more because she also has a day job. But right. I was able to maybe get another artist in and maybe similar styles, but maybe a little different. I would be open to that, but I would love it to be a weekly thing. But if it remains bi-weekly or twice a month or whatever, I do plan on still launching a Kickstarter to kind of do like, I don't know, like a little collection of the ones of the five or so that will be already out that people have seen, and then 10 to 15 that haven't been published yet, and just put them all into like a little collection, and I don't know, get that like in a store into somebody's hand, like a physical copy of it too, because I mean, we would all like to believe that everybody's on the internet, but that's just not the case. So
yeah,
I would love to do that. Like, I never thought of myself writing children's books, but I'm really open to that. But my ultimate goal, and I hope that when this alien spoof comes out, that Dark Horse, now that they've gotten rid of the person they need to get rid of, like, why is that? It says, you know, that's Stephanie lady. Let's figure out how to write some alien. Because I'm telling you, that is Marvel, whatever, DC, great. No, I would like to write an alien comic. There's so much that could be done with that world if they would include, and they're starting to do this. There's some novelizations of Alien Isolation, which I do highly recommend if you haven't read it or heard it yet. They do some things with Ellen's daughter, Amanda, and Zola, and I feel like they're going to be gay. They better be gay. If they're not, I'm going to raise hell. The book just came out that is the second part to, or a continuation of Isolation, and Zola will be in it. So mm-hmm. I'll let you all know. But if it ends up not being gay, I'm going to raise hell. But anyway.
Good.
The Alien comics are so good.
So
I just wanted
good.
To throw just, that in there. They're so good.
So good. And like, there's so much more that you all could do if you would, like, I don't know, like, let women and people of color, black women, I don't know, write these things, because just the whole idea. And I wrote about it a little bit because I've been like trying to convert people over to like Covenant. And I know it is I know, but there are some things and elements about it that, and if the writer's room looked a little bit different, or if they were willing to do a little bit something else. Like, there's just so much to be done with the Alien universe, and I just don't understand. Like, it's great. It's like, the comics are great. Yes, they are. But like, there's just so much more that can be done, and like, the novels and the comics are doing that. I don't know what the movies are doing, but yeah.
I really hope that you get to write Aliens. That would be incredible. Someday, hopefully, that would be the best. I was also, this is like a small seg, but have you read the Aliens Vamprella crossover?
Oh my God, nope, but it's added on to my list.
Listen, there you go.
I've just discovered all of these crossovers. Like, I discovered the DC crossover because I was in Second in Charles. And I was like, wait, what? Superman punching a xenomorph? What is this?
Yes.
And I'm like, how did I not know this existed? What is wrong with me? I really sat there for like 15 minutes holding the book in that aisle, like really questioning everything about my life. And
yeah,
willing to like turn over my nerd card because I'm like, this makes no sense. How I didn't know this existed. So I let everybody down. Like,
and everybody sleeps on those crossovers though. And like, everybody has been sleeping on those crossovers, in specific the Aliens crossovers. I think a lot of people sleep on the Aliens comic. And I have noticed, too, my favorite crossover character is Vamprella, and people constantly sleep on that character as far as her team-ups with Red Sonja, her, like, Betty and Veronica team-up, her Hack and Slash team-up, Aliens. Like,
The final question is, who are your favorite bitches from comics?
Oh, God. So Monica Rambeau off top. And
what?
Because I always go back and forth with this, but I'm just going to have to say Amanda Waller. I wanted to give you all like some obscure, but I couldn't, because when recently in Suicide Squad, like when Amanda got, what was it, the kryptonite into Zod's head?
Yeah.
Like, you're crazy, and you know what, I love it. And like, I don't know why that moment just, I already loved it before then, but like that moment I was like, you know what, bitch.
Yeah.
Okay. I love every iteration.
She's just so great. She offered Deadshot a dog on extra dollar. to go kill the person who hired him to kill her.
That was so like, good. Wow,
what a bad bitch.
That's she's what I always amazing. Think is she's like the wild card of DC where you're just like, what? Like every time she shows up, I'm just like, what did she just say? I would, if Amanda Waller were a person, I would definitely be like just following her around just to see what was going to happen. Like that's the like character.
I feel like the closest we're going to get to her right now in our lifetime is probably Maxine Waters.
Oh yeah. Good God.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, that's
like every time I say like, cause I'm like, I know you're telling people how you feel all the time. Regarding, you just don't care. Again, I think it was that image of her scolding Dead Eyes. What's his name? But anyway, yeah, Zuckerberg and like scolding him.
Dead Eyes. Like, dead
that eyes. Is his eyes are dead. There's
that's no so they're so dead.
But she's like scolding him and I'm like, yeah, that's Amanda Waller right now.
Yeah, no,
I never made the connection that. But yes.
I'm like, oh yeah, no, of course, who else?
So thank you so much, Stephanie. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
No, thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it, and like always, this was very enjoyable, as I because I've like always had anxiety before a podcast, which makes absolutely no sense.
Do you have anything that we haven't covered that you want to, I mean, do you have a Patreon? Do we need to plug any of that?
Oh, real quick. So no Patreon, but parenthoodactivate.com is what you can go to check out new issues. And also there is a tip jar. Just, you know, full disclosure, I am currently unemployed with a real 9-to-5, but I'm figuring it out. But if you would like to support Parenthood Activate, just so that I can pay my artists up, I am a Black woman paying other Black women. So if you would like to support Black women, support us. So you can just find all updates there. There's a blog too, where I'm trying to get better about just adding little things that are going on that either are related to the comic issues or just, you know, mommy related or whatever. So you can find that all at parenthoodactivate, all one word, .com. And there'll be a Kickstarter coming soon, so just be on the lookout for that.
This week is written by Charles Soule, art by Javier Pulido, colors by Monse Vicente, lettering by BC's Clayton Cowles. That's right, it's 2014 She-Hulk.
Boom, boom, boom.
Had you read this series before?
No, I hadn't. It was on my list, and I just hadn't gotten to it. I think I tried to start She-Hulk in a couple places and didn't love it. Especially after having read A-Force, where she's incredible.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to do this. But I'm so happy with this one. This one's amazing.
Yeah, this is my favorite one out of all of the ones.
I like it because it feels like her life matters.
It's about her life. Like, that's what's great. I think the previous series had done a lot of, oh, this is what her dating life is and stuff. And then the next one was, here's her if she, like, hated everybody, didn't have a great sense of humor, which is weird to see. And then this one.
Do you know how they pitched it?
Oh, I don't even know how. I don't even know if Peter David has to pitch anything or if people just give him series or something. Yeah. They're like, oh, you're not doing anything? Yeah, would you like to write She-Hulk for no reason all of a sudden? And he goes, yep. So he did. It was varying degrees of bad. And
and this is much better.
This is way better. This is really good. This is my favorite one. She immediately quits the firm she's with because they're exploiting her. She starts her own firm that helps people, even though she's very poor, which is fun. She gets that whole first issue razzmatazz that's like, oh, here I am in this decrepit old building. Will I ever make it work? And it's, oh, I'm going to read issue 2. I love this. Will you make it work?
Her office is in a building full of supers.
Yeah.
So they're all people who can't rent anywhere else because they have such high insurance rates.
Yes.
And then the person who runs the building is a former mutant who since M-Day has lost her powers.
Right. But she's fun.
She's so cool. Mm-hmm. And so you're just like,
hijinks. It's really fun. Yeah, it's the setup for hijinks. Also, even further, the setup of hijinks is whenever Hellcat comes into the series and decides to get Trish wasted Walker. And they decide that they're just going to go ahead and take on AIM. She drunkenly decides that she just wants to bust up an AIM location.
Which is particularly funny because she and She-Hulk are drinking.
Yeah.
And she's like, I only had as much as you, She-Hulk. And She-Hulk is like, I am 3 times your size.
The density of my muscle mass is different than yours.
She's and like, I am stone cold sober.
And Hellcat's like literally like hopping away from her, ready to take on AIM for no reason.
She's like, I feel like punching someone.
AIM is baffled by this, which is really funny because they're not really the bad guys in this situation.
No.
Oh, what do we do? Nothing? What are you doing here then?
One person's like, I gotta go. The other person's like, but if I beat one of them, this could be my moment. It's like, I loved that because I was like, that must be what every low-level baddie is thinking.
Yes.
When they go to fight like a major super. Because I'm always like, why would you, if I saw Captain America running toward me.
With his shield going.
I would just lay down on the ground. Like, yeah. I would just be like, nothing. Please don't hit my face.
And then he trips and you are the person who killed Captain America.
Which would be kind of, wow. See, AIM, that's what goes through their heads. They're like, if I could kill Cap, do you know what it would do for my future? It's like, okay, but you can't.
You'd get killed really quickly by Madam Hydra, probably either way, but
probably
live your life how you choose.
Know, it's your dream.
Yeah. Hellcat's dream is to punch you in the face all of a sudden for no reason.
And almost get beat, right? Doesn't she like drunkenly fall through something?
She's the bodyguard all of a sudden or something to She-Hulk, which makes so no funny. Sense, kind of. And the whole scenario, once again, hijinks. Here we are. The story where finally, after years and years and years of comics, an attorney writes this comic, and then we see the face-off between She-Hulk and Matt Murdock in court, mm-hmm. which was incredible.
Well, that's what it builds up to. First, she faces Tony mm-hmm. over a litigation matter. Then she faces Victor Von Doom, she helps Victor Von Doom's son.
Yes, I love how no-nonsense she is to
She's
Tony.
Like, oh, big scary person? Hi, much bigger, scarier person.
Tony watches her walk out just like, Jen's looking good.
Yeah, oh God, he's like so smitten.
Yeah.
Everything she says, he's like, ha, 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 ha,
yeah. Oh, you're being like really mean to me, but it's fine.
I like it. That's not my fault. Don't be mad, Jen. She's like, shut up, Tony.
I've had
Give
enough
the people
of
their
you.
Damn money.
Tired of you shooting my cousin into space and whatever weird shit you get up to. Like an Illuminati shit.
For the record, that's on page 13, panel 4. She accuses Tony of being in the Illuminati.
Yes, and she is right. And also, she takes on Victor Von Doom. Unfortunately, she kind of loses that scenario in a way, the beginning, because Victor Von Doom is super protective of his weird child. Who you would just let go. It'd be, all right, live your own life. But Victor Von Doom is not having it because he's a control freak. And
it's kind of funny because you see She-Hulk, who is like this scrappy, like resilient human, dealing with this like precious rich boy.
Yeah.
And at one point, she has to hurry, so she picks him up. And he says, do you mind? Or like some rich, like, how dare you? And she goes, excuse me? And he goes, reflex, I'm sorry. It's just a reflex. It's like, yeah, because She-Hulk will like literally rip you in half.
She's the only thing standing between you and Victor Von Doom right now, and you need to act accordingly.
When I thought that what was really smart about this series is that it starts with some minor hijinks and like a major setup, and then you go into this like mystery, mm-hmm. which is like at some point, She-Hulk and a series of other plaintiffs were sued by someone mm-hmm. for some kind of destruction they did.
None of them remember
and
it.
No one. And when it gets brought up to them,
they lose it.
They like it trigger. It's like a, what is that called with spies? You know, the spy thing.
The spy thing where they trigger suddenly thing. Are triggered. Yeah, I know that one. She-Hulk is good.
She-Hulk is so good. Makes you slappy.
Yeah, so the mystery is fun. That works out actually really interesting, I thought. I liked the villain that gets brought in and how surprising it is. Therefore, I will not say anything about it. But I will note that once again, whenever Matt Murdock and Jen go head to head, you see a lot of what's different about them in legal matters.
That's so nice.
And it's really interesting because obviously if you're not a lawyer, we're all, oh, all the lawyers do the same exact job all the time and have the same personality, right? And then you read this and Matt Murdock is somebody who is very suspicious and he's always pushing for the truth in a lot of ways. And then She-Hulk is this person who just is good and can always find a way out of every situation and knows how to defend somebody the best way. Matt is really good at prosecuting people.
That makes sense.
So good.
And also, like, given who they are and their ethos, that makes a lot of sense. Hearing you say that part, I really thought the whole thing brought a certain precision around law and how lawyers' lives work.
Yeah.
I'm none of those things.
Sule is an immigration lawyer, I believe.
And it comes through. You really see people, you know, things like instead of the ticking time bomb of an issue being a literal bomb, it's we have to get your implication in by 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And no judge will see you if you do not do it by 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And it's her calling a judge she knows and being like, please, I'm on the way. Let me help this Victor Von Doom Jr. That's not his name. I can't remember his name.
It's basically
his name. It's essentially that. She doesn't care that he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Like you said, she has that moral compass of like, this is what's right. And that's why I'm doing it.
And that's also, it causes her problems in the legal world, which is really interesting as well. I thought that this series was so good at getting her voice down and making me understand what her job even is, because it's been really ill-defined for a very long time. So being able to watch her do it.
Super lawyer.
Oh, we need a lawyer for this scene? Guess what? Here's Jen Walters for 2 pages and then it's done and we don't hear anything else about it. So yeah, I think that this was just the one that got the characterization. It got her friendships. She didn't date anybody, thank God, through this entire series. They're always trying to tie her to these really annoying side characters that we've never seen before.
It's almost like men writing her have some sort of interest in pushing themselves into the novel as if they could be a love interest of She-Hulk.
It's honestly with She-Hulk, I think, like the worst. You see that all of the time with her, where you literally have a creator who's breaking the fourth wall so that he can have her jump rope naked and stuff. You know, you see a lot of stuff with She-Hulk that isn't great.
Like she's a large woman and but she still has these, you know, traditional shape and measurement. She just happens to be extra sized. And so I think there's, you know, all this weird, creepy shit men do because of that.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. She is definitely a great character, though. And I've always loved her and always thought she didn't really get her due. And I think that this was the series that just completely delivered on every point.
I couldn't agree more. And I think the art is so fun.
Oh, the art. Yes. I've always loved this artist. Definitely. Also did, I believe, part of the Matt Fraction Hawkeye series. And that was really fantastic. And I think an issue of the Scarlet Witch series.
Yeah, I'm thinking as well.
Like a few different ones that have been really good because this art fits that action dynamic. It reminds me of Kirby in its way of not being super detailed, but being very dynamic.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
I loved it. This is like really one of the best She-Hulk stories you're going to find.
This one is also available on Marvel Unlimited.
That's right.
So make sure you check it out. If you have questions for Bitches on Comics, or if you're a comic creator and want to send us copies of your work, please email us at bitchesoncomics@gmail.com. bitchesoncomics@gmail.com. Gmail does not like the word bitch, so make sure you leave the I out, otherwise we won't get your email. Remember, there is no I in bitch.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a Patreon, www.patreon.com/bitchesoncomics, where we have exclusive content.
I'm Essie Fleenor, and you can learn more about me at essiefleenor.com.
I'm Sarah Sentry, and you can learn more about me at www.sarahsentry.com. Music provided by Earth Control Pill, which you can find at earthcontrolpill.bandcamp.com.
Bitches on Comics is recorded and edited by Kate Warner. Learn more about Kate and her band, Churchfire, at churchfiremusic.com. Bitches on Comics is recorded in Denver, Colorado.
We want to recognize the indigenous peoples who have inhabited and do inhabit this land. The Arapaho Nation, the Ute Nation, the Cheyenne Nation, and others who have been erased from our history and collective memories through colonization.